Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, praise God. Awesome day the Lord has made, amen? We'll be glad in what?
Rejoice.
Okay, that's it. Help me along a little bit. You know, as we get older, sometimes we get a little bit minus upstairs sometimes. Okay, it's Isaiah chapter 43. God kind of pointed that out to me. He says, okay, to verse 5, 1 to 5. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Praise God. And I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. Go ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Oh, dear Lord, we're in just awesome of your presence here, Father God, as you're about to, once again, Father's business, and we need to be that way, Father God. Open to receive everything. Today is that day. Special time, and touch each one of us, Father God, as each one of us have carrying a little bit of weight, Father God. Now, well, here's the day that it says, cast our cares upon you, Lord God, that we would do that. We'd appreciate the things that we have here, and the thing is, too, that we keep our eyes on you. There's such a narrow path in that, and you know, it's so easy to start on our own. It's not, God doesn't want that. He doesn't want self. He doesn't want pride that brings destruction. He wants our focusing on him. That's why, like I say, it's a narrow path. Focus on him. See, through his eyes, scales come up ours to keep doing what we're called to do. We all have gifts. We need to be about the Father's business in that area. And the thing is, too, that, you know, as we look out there in the world, a lot of people hurting, Father God, as we continue to prepare our hearts each and every day. That there's a lot of people there that just state they need Christ, really. It's just the idea of, as we're planting and someone's watering, God will bring that increase. We're going to be available for that. We're forming that army here at Grace. And the Lord says, you know, we're talking individuals, we're talking families, we're talking as a body of Christ. And he wants us to receive everything we need to today as the word goes forth. That'll always go on forever, even when we join him in the eternal life. But we're here just temporarily, so it says, be about his business today. We've had that experience around Thanksgiving. We've been talking with people. Well, to communicate as we should, that's reading. Reading the word. Get familiarized with our Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Continue to pray. Effectual prayer and prayer of righteous man avails much. We've seen that, Father God. We've experienced. But God says, stay close to him right now. Press in. And then the thing is, too, watch him work. Do what we can do and let God do the rest. And we ask in your precious name, amen.
Amen.
And Pastor Michael. At this point, who cares? Forget about the time. We all know Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Michael. I've known him for more years than I can count, I think.
Here, keep it if you're going to keep
no,
it.
No. But he asked me about Job Ashatiba. Did I say that right?
Ashatiba.
And I even practiced. It still didn't look right. But he asked me if Job could become a preacher, and I said yes. So he's going to tell you a little bit about this guy.
No, I'm not going to tell you anything about him. I'll let him introduce himself. Job comes from the Kayole community in Nairobi, Kenya. I met him several years ago, a wonderful man of God, and I am blessed that he has come. He's been all over the United States the last few weeks. He's making his final leg of his journey here in Vermont and New Hampshire, and I am blessed to share him with you tonight, this morning. What time of the day is it? It's just this morning. Still morning, yeah. Thank you, Pastor Matt and church, for inviting Job to come and share. I know he's going to be a blessing to you. As I introduce him, I want to introduce him with a thought. You know, the book of Hebrews chapter 10, God says this. He says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. For we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." As I've been praying about moving into the next year, God has been saying to me, it's time to advance. God has really poured into my heart the kingdom of God. It's time for the kingdom of God to advance. This is the year. I'm even thinking of a phrase, alive and 25. You know, the number 25 is, it's a combination of two numbers. The number 20 is the number of redemption, and the number of 5 is the number of grace. And so I believe we're going to see an outpouring of redemptive power in this year, and grace upon grace upon grace. And so I want to speak to Grace Christian Fellowship. This is the year to advance. This is the year to take Winchester for Christ and the surrounding area. This is the year to advance. We're claiming it in Brattleboro. We're claiming it in our area. And I believe that Job's coming is a part of that. He's going to encourage us with the word. He is a good friend. I have been blessed to minister in his church in Nairobi several times, and I'm blessed to introduce him to you here this morning. Matthew will continue to practice pronouncing it, and every time he gets in public, he will say it wrong. That's the way I figured out that it works with me. But his name is Job Ashitiba. He is originally from a town by the name of Kakamega, which is in Kenya. I'm not going to be able to stay for the whole service because the appointment I have to go to comes a little bit quicker than the one Matt has to go to. But I did want to come and greet you this morning. Thank you for inviting my friend to come and to minister to you. And I want to introduce you to him now. His name is Job. He's from Kenya, and he has come here to bless you with the word of God. My friend, come.
I got mine.
You don't have to do that. I think that got you.
Amen. Like you've been told, my names are Job Ashitiba. It sounds Japanese. Just the way you pronounce it, that is how you write it. Ashitiba. It is A-S-H-I-T-I-B-A. Ashitiba. Well, like Pastor Michael has said already, I am from Kenya. Kenya is about 8,000 miles from here by air. And it takes a few hours to get there. If you like it, yeah, you need, if you spend less from this area, you're going to use about 20 to 24 hours to get there. So, by the grace of God, I am here today. And I believe that, I like to tell people that nothing gets God by surprise. Nothing. Your arrival on earth, what you will eat, what you'll drink, where you will go, it doesn't get God by surprise. Whatever appears new to us is never new in the eyes of God. I like to tell people before I begin to preach, when I stand to minister, please, you'll have to listen to me keenly because I have a different accent. Not just because I am from Africa, but because English is a language I study in school. It is not my primary language. So I have to work through languages. I have my mother tongue, which is my tribe, because in Kenya, I am a Luhya. I'm not just a Kenyan. I am a Luhya. I was telling this friend of mine, before Kenya became Kenya, because Kenya has been around for not more than 130 years. Actually, Kenya became Kenya as a result of the partitioning, the Berlin Conference in 80-something, when Africa was divided. Africa was not divided before 1885, going back. The countries you see in Africa never existed. All these names came about by colonialisms, the colonial powers. But before that, my tribe existed. So my tribe is older than Kenya. So I'm a Luhya by tribe. And Luhyas, because Kenya has 47 different tribes speaking 47 different dialects, totally distinct from one another, that somebody just across the road would be speaking a totally different language from yours. That is Kenya. So we are 47 tribes in that small country. And so every tribe had a king. That's why I think when Africans talk or think about kings or kingdom, they speak from a different point of understanding. Because every tribe had a king. And my tribe had a king and a kingdom. So the Luhya kingdom, where I come from, kingdom, of course, when you talk about kingdom, you are speaking about area. You are talking about space. Because kings went to war and they fought. And the purpose of fighting was to expand their territory. So in Africa, when you go to Africa, you can tell how strong a kingdom was by how big the size of land they occupy. Because we have some people, we have some tribes that are very large. They are too many. They are densely populated areas in Kenya, but their kingdom is small. That means they were cowards. That means they were beaten. They were defeated. Pastor Michael, who has been to Africa, he knows we have an area that is called Maasai Mara. Maasai Mara, you can see, if you Google, you'll see it on Google, is a large area, very big. That's where we have lions, we have all these animals. In the Maasai Mara, we have a people called Maasai. They are in Kenya, they are in Tanzania. Maasai occupy the largest land, but they are the fewest people. They're just too few, but they are fierce guys. They are warriors. That even when the colonials came to Kenya, they could not get the Maasais off their land, even though they had guns. So the Maasai, although few, they occupy the most land. This is the only tribe we tell people, we tell people like this, that this is a true experience. That if you are walking in the forest, in the wild, if you go to the reserve where the animals live, if lions see you from any other tribe, the animal will come for you. The lion will come for you. But lions run away from one Maasai boy. They see a Maasai boy and they run away. Why? Because they know Maasais, one of their greatest achievements is that it is a dream of every Maasai boy to one time encounter a lion and kill it. They are always looking for a lion to encounter them. So that is where I come from. So I speak Luhya, which is my language, from Western Kenya. And then I also speak Swahili, which is a national language. Those of you who watched Lion King, you know, Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
No problem. That's the meaning. Hakuna Matata. No problem. That movie, it was done in Kenya. So Swahili, Hakuna Matata is Swahili, for no problem. So I speak Swahili, which is a national language. And then I study English in school so that I can communicate with you guys. I am married, of course, to one wife. Because when you come from that kind of environment, it is good to introduce yourself proper. Because when you come from a kingdom, kings had many wives. And so in my tribe, men are welcome to marry four wives if you want. If you can, 10. It is allowed. And the government of Kenya allows that. So it's allowed there. But it's not allowed amongst Christians. It is not a Christian practice. We don't do that. Those are some of the things I've been sharing with them and telling them. When I got born again, one of the things we had to fight in Africa, you didn't just get born, say, I am born again, and everybody agreed with you or accepted you. One of the signs that I am born again is that I refuse to marry many wives. So you suffer rejection because of the decision you have made. And we have had to endure such kind of things, that I refuse to marry many wives because I'm a believer. God doesn't teach me that one. So I've been talking to them about how important it is that we have to run away from our culture and tradition that does not glorify God. Because there is what I call the Bible culture. I'm not talking about the Jewish culture. I'm speaking about the biblical culture, the children of God, the kingdom culture, the kingdom of God mentality. Because I realize that there are lots of people that even though we have been born again, even though we have been, our sins have been washed away, we are still clinging onto the old fashion of life. And you cannot inherit, you cannot enter Canaan with Egyptian mentality. The Egyptian mentality in you must die first of all. Actually, this is why God made sure that everybody that came out of Egypt, because they hung on to what they did in Egypt, they didn't want to let it go. God did not allow any of them to get into the promised land. Think about that. That although they were delivered, although they went through, the Bible says, Paul writes in Corinthians, and he says like this, that they went through the same baptism. They went through, they experienced the miracle of passing through the Red Sea. They saw water stop by the sides, and they were able to cross, yet they did not make it to the land of Canaan. Hallelujah. What does that tell me? That tells me that it is important, because I think the 40 years in the wilderness, God did not intend for them to stay there. But because they were stiff-necked, because they were difficult, they were not willing to follow the pattern that God put in place. God killed all of them. And we are serving the same God. Please, always remember that. God has not changed. You can change your system of life. You can change because of technology, but you are dealing with the same God. God cannot be twisted. You can't change the arm of God. You can't tell him what to do. I like to say, tell people, please, even when we pray, you cannot change God by prayer. He tells us to pray. It is good. He wants us to align. Actually, prayer is meant to align us with the plan of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to start to preach. I'm trying to begin. So, by the grace of God, I am married to one wife. God has blessed us with two kids. One of them is 23, a boy and a girl. My son is 23 years and my daughter is 19. God has allowed me to live the last 52 years. I'm saying I'm 52. So those 52 years, those 52 years of mine have passed through a lot of things. I didn't grow. For 16 years, I did not grow in stature. For 16 years, I was the shortest thing in the village. Everybody jumped around over me. People pulled me by my ears. People did all manner of stuff. I'm talking about a 16-year-old, because I was not meant to live past 24 hours after I was born. Because after I was born out of wedlock. My mother and my father didn't stay together. My father, he married my mother, or he took my mother to as a wife, but then they didn't stay more than a year. So my mother left when I was in her womb, and she got married into another relationship. So I was born in another home where she got married. And in Africa, men don't raise children that are not theirs. So, and children belong to a man in Africa. You need to remember that also, that children belong to the man, not the woman. So, being born in another home, where my mother got married, I was not so lucky, because the place she got married, her mother-in-law was a witch, a real sorcerer, not one who imitates others. She was real. She practiced witchcraft. And so when I was born, she performed witchcraft, a tradition to get rid of me. And she did what they do, and I did not die. They waited for me to die. I did not die. I think my grandmother on my father's side, because she was a believer, I'm talking about a real believer, I think she did pray for me even before I was born. So when I was 6 months, they decided that now that this boy has decided not to die, let's find somebody to wring his neck. And so the plan was hatched. And when the day before, somebody got wind of what was being planned, and she came at night to my mother, and she told my mother, I am aware that this child does not belong in this home, and they want to get rid of it. And I know tomorrow there is a plan. Somebody will take it to kill it. Why don't you allow me to take him at night? So she left. I was given away when I was only 6 months. I was handed over to somebody else who took me to another place. Who took me again to another place? Because I was moved like that until finally I landed at my uncle, my mother's brother's place, or my mother's home place, birthplace. So for 2.5 years I stayed there. I was not, by the time I was 2.5 years, I was not able to walk, neither was I talking, because I suffered because of that old, the tradition that was done on me. I was sick, very sick, for 2.5 years. And that sickness was near almost killing me. And before it killed me, somebody decided to assist it, to kill me faster. So one day, my grandmother had left me by the shade of a tree. She went to work in the farm, and somebody in the family walked by, and he found me right there. And because I couldn't help myself, I couldn't walk, I couldn't do anything. Wherever they put me in a place, they would find me in the same spot. So somebody came with a bucket, and he put that bucket on me. covered me, to suffocate me, to die. So my grandmother comes back home, and she looked at where she left me, and she saw a bucket. And straight away she came to see what has happened. Did this boy turn into a bucket? Only to find I was inside there, not dead, still breathing. So I survived again. It caused a lot of problem because a lot of people had to come to see what had been done and stuff like that, but that didn't matter. The fact is, I was still alive, and I'm still alive. So what happened? What happened after that is that for the next 14 years, that's why I say 16 years, for the next 14 years, I grew, but I did not grow tall. I was short. I was dwarf. People called me by that name. I didn't like my childhood because even when I was in school, my schoolmates used to make fun of me. You know, boys moving their legs over you and stuff like that and intimidating you and calling you, referring to you by your name. I am aware that sometimes you can lose your identity because of the circumstances that you are not the cause. You can become, meaning people can begin to refer to you by how they see you, by what is happening around you. And people, I mean, because we mean different things to different people. Even as I speak to you now, because I'm already preaching. Even as I talk to you now, there are people here, or there are people around us, that we know that people refer to them because of the circumstances, because of the situation they are in. People call you sick. Oh, when they see you, they say, oh, that sick person. When they see you, they say, oh, that so and so. They don't even remember your name. I'm talking to somebody here. There comes a time when they don't even remember your name. And we have this kind of people throughout the Bible. When you read the Bible and you see Jesus, the Bible says there was a man born lame. There was this man. There was a woman with the issue of blood. We don't even know her name. Hello? Her problem is so big that her name is lost. That her problem has taken over. It is giving her an identity. That your problem is giving you a name that is not yours. I have been in that situation. So when I come to preach, I like to remind people before I preach. I tell them like this: please, if you are looking for a miracle, there is one standing in front of you. Why? Because when I got born again when I was 16 years old, the only good thing, or one good thing that God gave me, was this: that when I went to school, when they were laughing at me because I was short, because I was like this, I was that, and I didn't have a home, I grew up on the street, I didn't have parents around me, life was so difficult. I tell my children, I wore my first shoe when I was 18 years old. That is when I put on my first shoe. I owned my first shoes when I was 18 years old. I don't know how my legs didn't get like this. They are still straight. I never wore shoes all my childhood. I didn't know whether we are going to eat a meal in a day or nothing. For me, life was like that since I was a small baby. I couldn't tell whether we are going to have a meal or not. Never enjoyed the joy of a mattress. So sometimes nowadays when I go to a house, like I'm sleeping in her house and there is a mattress, I thank God for the mattress. Some people you have nothing to thank God for because you were born with everything. I thank God for even the mattress I sleep on in your house. Why? I remember those days when I used to get my feet into a sack, sisal sack. A sack. You understand sisal? Bag, yeah. That's not a sleeping bag. But what I'm talking about is not a sleeping bag. But I used to use a sack, the one we used to stack maize, corn. We put maize. Yeah. I used to get into that. That was my blanket and that was my mattress. So that is how life was. But when I was 16 years old, what I was saying is this. One of the things something that God gave me was this, that even when everybody laughed at me, because I didn't have clothes, I didn't have anything, I always told them, you are tall. You have all you have. But I beat you in class. Because nobody beat me in class. I always number one in class. Every subject. I had my place of compensation. And you know, so when I was 16, by the mercies of God, the word of God, I tell people, me, I did not come to Christ. Christ came for me. I did not choose Christ. Christ chose me. So, because even the day I was born again, I did not plan it. It was not intentional. No, I was on a different business. I was sitting on a rock in some place and they were preaching on the street. And their message was like this. They were preaching from Hebrews chapter number 12. And there was the word, it says like this. Seeing ye therefore that we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses. I was like, who? Who is surrounded? Man, that word, we are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses, sounded like, to me, it was like I was in jail and here were people giving, or I was in a courtroom and here were people giving witness. They were giving testimonies about me. And I'm like, where? What are these guys talking about? Before I knew it, I was in front. I received Christ. And because I was also naughty, I was short in stature, but maybe just like Zacchaeus. Very naughty. You know, naughty because I lived on the street. So I had that roughness of, no, I have to make, if something has to work, I have to work it out. So I am a go-getter. I have to determine what I'm going to eat. Whether by force or by fire, I have to get it. So I was also naughty. But I was just angry. I was just angry with life. Because sometimes I used to do stuff. I would look at somebody so big, but I mean, I looked at them and they were like, I can deal with them. So when I got born again, that day I got born again, the preachers didn't let me go back home. They actually left with me. And for 3 days, they would not allow me to go back because they knew if they allowed me to go back, I would go into my gang, into my group. And so I wouldn't come back. So they stayed with me, the place where they were staying. For 3 days, I didn't change my clothes. We were in the crusade in the evening. We left early in the morning when they began their mission very early in the morning to wake up and pray at 5. And they would pray, and I have nothing to pray about because I don't know how to pray. But I was just hanging there, you know. So I'll be there. And so later on, I was introduced to prayer and fasting, and sometimes the people I raised, sometimes I tell them, you are being raised by a rough guy because that is how I grew up. I was ushered into prayer. I was recruited into prayer and fasting at a very early stage of my salvation. I'm talking about fasting, no food, no water, on top of a mountain, 3 days. That's how life began. So, by the grace of God, after that, 2 years later, 1989, People that saw me, if you met me last in 1989 and you saw me again in 1993, people did not believe they were seeing the same person. Because in 2 years, I covered up. I grew so fast physically. I grew in 2 years. Until they were like, what happened? I came to understand later. I came to understand later that the day I received Christ as my Savior, I began to live. Otherwise, I was dead. I was dead. But after I received Christ, I began to live. So the life I live today, I can agree with Paul. The life I live today, and I want to serve Christ to the very end. I don't know how many minutes I have, but I want to believe God that God is going to speak to us. I have prayed for you that God will help me. Every time I go to preach, I tell people, please, I don't pursue one line. Why? Because not everybody in a meeting like this one is going through the same situation. So when I come to preach, I ask God, give me something that at least I'll get to speak to somebody. At least I'll get to minister to somebody. Because we may not be in the same location, but God, give me a word. Even if it is just for one person, because that is key. And if it is possible, Lord, allow me to speak to everyone. Because I know when we come on Sunday, we are coming with different issues. We are coming from different backgrounds. We are coming from different, we have faced different situations throughout the week. And each one of us is coming expecting to receive something from the Lord. And so if God allows it, please, I ask you to open your ears because somewhere your life will be touched. Colossians chapter number 4. The book of Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians is somewhere between Genesis and Revelation. If you go through your Bible, you should be able to find it. I am a pastor in Nairobi. And by the grace of God, I'm overseeing six churches because I do church planting. So in the last few years of our existence, we have opened or planted six churches. So I oversee these six churches. Amen. In different parts of Kenya. So you can get to see the kind of work I'm doing. I'm not just stationed in one place. I'm involved in raising ministers. Colossians 4, verse number 17. But before you do 17, you can go back and look at verse number 16. The Bible says, verse 16, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from the Laodicea or from Laodicea. In verse number 17, tell Archippus, are you there? 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. In other translations, it says that you finish it. Some translations say like that. Others say complete it. Hallelujah. So this is Paul. We all know, most of you know, that the book of Colossians was dedicated to the Colossian people, and the main aim was to remind them of the Godhead, was to show them who God was, who God is. It was to demonstrate to them. Of course, when you are doing Ephesians, you begin to learn about how we have become children, how we have become part and parcel, how we have become part of the body, how we have become the children of God. And so he is, in the book of Colossians, he has been addressing the issue of Godhead. He is dealing with a situation whereby people are learning from different, there are lots of things happening. There are different doctrines that are being thrown around. But then Paul has been strengthening the church, telling them, you know what, the importance of understanding not only who you are, but also understanding the position of God in your life. Glory be to God. Because as I preach to you this morning, it is important for you to also know where you are, who you are. I preach and I say like this. It doesn't matter how successful I am in Kenya as a businessman. When I cross borders, when I move to another country, I can't claim to be a successful businessman here until I learn how to do business in America. Because when you cross borders, laws change. There are lots of things that happen as you cross borders. As you move into a new area, for you to succeed in that new area, you have to, number one, you need to learn a language. Because sometimes you need to learn a language of the people if you are going to succeed in that area. And that is why God, I use that to tell people, the reason why we speak in tongues is because God, every kingdom has a language. Please remember that. We don't just speak in tongues because it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, we speak in tongues, and that's why everyone should desire to speak in tongues. It is because every kingdom has a language. As a matter of fact, what identifies you to belong to a particular kingdom is the language that you speak. Like I've told you, when you go to my country, everybody speaks a different language. And that is to tell you I have an identity. Even before I mention my name, my language will betray me. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, when they are fighting in Kenya, when they are fighting in Africa, one of the things they use to identify you is to use a language. They will speak their language to see if you speak the same language. If you can't speak the same language, they know you don't come from their tribe. So they begin to fight you. And you see, the children of God need to understand this, that just like it is in the world, God has put it, the world actually learned it from God. This is why God's kingdom has a language. When we switch to speak in tongues, the devil gets confused. He doesn't understand what is going on here. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody here? I hope you are getting what I'm saying. If I want you not to understand what I am saying, I will switch to my language. Is that true? If I want you not to know what is going on, I'll switch to my language. And when I begin to speak in my language, you cannot know, you can't tell whether I am planning to harm you or I'm planning to bless you. You can't tell. Are we together? And so when we switch into the language of the Spirit, because that is the language of the kingdom. Every kingdom has a language. And please, if you belong to this kingdom, hallelujah. If you belong to this kingdom, desire to have this language. Why? Because you need it. You don't want everything you are doing everybody to know. You don't want the enemy to tap into what you are saying. You don't want the neighbor to know what you are talking about. Because sometimes you are called to pray for the person next to you, and you know you begin to speak in English. They know you are praying for them. Sometimes people say, okay, let's begin to pray, and I go in tongues straight away. Why? And I'm praying for somebody. Why? Because I know that is the language of the kingdom. So I'm saying like this. When you move into a new area, you have to unlearn some things. Even if you know, you have to do away with that former knowledge you had. Why? Because every kingdom operates differently. Every kingdom runs its affairs differently. Every kingdom has a currency. I know that one you have heard here before. Possibly you have heard somebody preach here, or you have heard somebody preach somewhere. That faith is the kingdom, is the currency that buys in the kingdom of God. That is very true. Faith is the currency that buys in the kingdom of God. That is true. But you also must remember this. Every kingdom has fake currencies as well. So even when you talk about faith,
It depends. What kind of faith are you talking about? Hallelujah. What faith are you talking about? Because everybody has some kind of faith. But then what I'm saying is this. The faith that lies in the kingdom of God is the God kind of faith. Is the Jesus kind of faith. It is faith that is built on the word of God. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Let me tell you, church, it is possible for you to be carried around, to be blown away by what you hear around you all the time. If you give yourself to listening to some stories, to some things, it takes hold of you. If you get used to listening to people who are full of discouragement, if all you hear is discouragement, you build your faith on discouragement, then you become a discourager automatically. You will not see no good anywhere because of what you hear. And that's why as children of God, we are taught to cling, to follow, to listen, to read, to study the word of God until it becomes part and parcel of our lives. That the word of God is part and parcel of what is going on within you. That in your system, there is the word of God inside of you. So that when problems come, because I know one thing. The Bible, Jesus is teaching and he's saying like this. You have been made clean by the word that you have heard. That the word of God, when it comes, Paul goes ahead and says like this, that this word may dwell in you richly. The word of God dwell in you richly. What I'm saying is this, it is the word that when it dwells inside of us, no sickness can abide. Why? Because the sickness comes into your body, it meets the word of God which says, I am Jehovah Rapha. You cannot stay here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God dwell in you richly because Jesus is the word. And when we are talking about the word and we are talking about God and we are talking about Jesus, please, we are not talking about three different things. We are talking about the same things, the same thing, because the same word is the same. John says like this, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. And this word, my God, put on flesh and came and lived among us and we beheld it with our eyes. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And not long, 3.5 years of ministry, only 3.5 years of ministry, he tried to demonstrate to his disciples and to the people around him. Most of them did never understood. Even John, who introduced him by baptizing him, I see him doubting him and sending his disciples, please go find out. Is he the one or should we wait for another one? Why? Because we are looking at him with a natural eye. We are looking at him with a natural mentality. We are looking at him with a natural approach. But yet Jesus says like this, my kingdom is not the kingdom of this world. It is not, in other words, my way of operation. And Christ tried to show this by showing his disciples. Many times he showed them that he was man and he was God. They never understood it. Still, they never got it. He tried to do it twice. That's why you read your Bible and you see some miracles are performed twice. Similar. They look the same. And when you read, because there is a lesson behind the miracle. There is a spiritual lesson behind every miracle in that Bible you are carrying. When you read it, you realize in some place, Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Jesus the man. Jesus the son of Mary. Jesus the son of Joseph. Tired man. He is a man. Another day, now, you get into the ship, you are going alone. He reveals himself by walking on water. What he's showing them is this. The man, the Jesus you are with in the ship, in the boat, is Jesus the man. But the Jesus you see walking on the water is not Jesus the man. He is Jesus God. Because only God can walk on water. So he's showing them, trying to show the disciples that what you see, when you see me with you, it is God in man. It is God man. But when you see me walking on water, that is not man. That is God. He tried to show the disciples, but they didn't get the picture. They didn't get to understand that. So, Paul is teaching, saying something here. And he's saying, make sure that this letter is read. And after it is read to everybody, he narrows down to one man. Thank you, Jesus. Look at these guys. That this is, he is addressing a whole congregation. He is speaking to everybody. That everybody needs to hear this word. Everybody needs to know what Paul is saying. But apart from everybody, I believe Archippus is part of the team that is listening to what is being taught. But still, Paul insists. Tell Archippus, out of the congregation, tell Archippus to make sure that he fulfills the work of the ministry that was put on him, that he received by the laying on of hands. What I want to say here is this. God has called us into ministry. When I say ministry, preaching is not the only thing. I mean, most of the time you talk about ministry, people start thinking about church. You talk about ministry, people start thinking about missions. People start thinking about being a preacher, being a pastor. No, thank you. Ministry is diverse. Ministry is what you do. Actually, I say like this. Preaching is not a ministry. Ministry is what I do after I leave the pulpit. That is ministry. Because I am going to affect what I do is going to have impact to the people that I'm going to minister to. So when we, all of us here, we have been called into doing something. What makes me think so? Do you know, even when you read, and I want you to go and read and look at it intently. Even when you read about the what you call the giftings. Okay, the Bible doesn't call them giftings. It's us who call them the giftings. When the Bible calls them, it talks about the apostles, the prophets, the everybody. That, I know there are people who understand that more than I do. But here, but God gave me a revelation that is quite unique. That you know what? When you read that, it is not a gift. Actually, it is God. It says God gave some. That's what it says. He gave some. Are you getting it? Does your Bible say like that? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. He doesn't say he gave gifts of teaching. He says he gave some. This is my own understanding, my own personal understanding. This is God saying like this. God gave men to men. He sent men to men. He gave men. He gave people to people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Hallelujah. He gave people to people. He gave you to somebody. And he gave somebody to you to serve. And all of us, we fall in some place. All of us, we fall in some category. All of us, we belong. We are, because we are the body of Jesus. My God. When we shared the body here, we just participated in something. I almost changed my message, Pastor. Thank you. I'm almost finishing. I almost changed my message. I was looking at as we are eating here, and something is telling me, oh Lord, thank you that I am able to participate in this. When we are eating the Lord's table, men and women of God, none of us, I didn't see Pastor taking a big glass and somebody else taking a small glass. We all drank the same size. Did we do that? Hello? Did we do that? When you look at the Bible doesn't tell me, and Peter was given a big loaf, and Judas was given a small one, and Bartholomew was given another one. No, it just says he shared bread. We ate the same amount. We shared the same amount of drink. What does that tell me? A child of God is a child of God. that the God who works in me is the God who works in you. So as I come to a conclusion, let me remind us, I'm out of time, but let me just say something here, that you know what, we are called, and God did not just call us to start, God calls us to finish what he called us to do. What I want to say is this, many of us, we are where we are because many people start things and they are not ready to finish them. Many people get involved in starting something. We have many people involved in getting married, but they are not ready to pay the price of a marriage. They are not ready to live through a marriage. What I'm saying is this, when you begin to do something, before you start to do something, there is always a complete picture before you. Are we together? You always have a vision. You always have a picture of how you want things to come out. Before you start, there is always something going on in your mind. There is always something going on in your mind. There is a picture in front of you. This is how I want to see my family. This is the bigger picture. I see myself with. What I'm saying is this. You don't want to get into marriage if you're not ready for grandkids. What I'm saying. Hallelujah. Because grandkids is part of marriage, isn't it? Is part of what comes into a marriage. So when the moment you are planning to get married, you should be you should know that there will be grandbabies. You should know there will be this and that. You should know there will be sons-in-laws. So in other words, what I'm talking is this, that when you sit down and you have a picture of marriage, you getting married or you marrying somebody, you should have that larger picture in front of you. And so what is supposed to be done is this, that you have to walk through to see that come to pass. That what you saw in the beginning should be the driving force. It should be the thing that makes you wake up every day to walk out to see that picture fulfilled. You walk out, you want to see the fulfillment of the vision, because the vision that God gave you, oh my God. I think I'm talking to people who have a vision. God gave you a vision. God gave you a vision. I am here to remind somebody, don't abandon that vision. Don't leave it a quarter way. Don't leave it halfway. How many people are willing to walk through? I know we are raising a generation that doesn't want to be responsible for anything. I am aware of that. It's happening in Africa. I don't know about here. They don't want to be responsible for anything. But I come and say like this, you know what? You have to walk your way through. Nobody will walk it away for you. Hallelujah. Nobody will do it for you. And so, church, I challenge us. I challenge you in this place today. The vision that man of God has, the vision of reaching the world, the vision of making sure that the kingdom of God is established on the earth, we have to see beyond what we are used to. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to go to the gym, spiritual gym, every day to get ready to do that which God has called us into. Tell Archippus to make sure that he fulfill the work of the ministry that he received from the Lord. Because of many unfinished businesses, this is why you have many street children. Because somebody abandoned their duty. Because of unfinished business, this is why you have broken homes. You have broken ministries. You have life that cannot, we have nations that cannot continue. Why? Because they have left, they have deviated from their goal. They have moved away from their vision. That which God called you to do, be willing to stand there and to see it fulfilled. Be a man, be a woman that is ready to count the cost to live the life. What a joy shall be. Don't allow people to finish for you, because I cannot finish for you, my brother. I can look at you in your eye and tell you, I cannot finish for you. I can talk to you, I can talk into your life, but I cannot finish for you. Why? Because when God called you, he gave you the shape, how the thing should be, how it should come out. So, I challenge you this afternoon, by the mercies of God, purpose to get it to the end. Purpose to get it to the finish line. Remember, Jesus said, I came to finish what my father asked me to do. And until he said, it is finished, that's why you are here. You are here because somebody finished. Amen. Let's start. Can we stand up, please? I'm out of time. I'm out of time. You are here because somebody finished. You are going to heaven because somebody finished. Actually, you are sure of heaven because somebody finished. Jesus didn't leave halfway. Mm-mm. But many of us think of the many things we have left halfway. Think of that. And then at the end, we blame others. You know, when people don't finish what they are called to do, they start blaming others. I ask you today to think about it. Are you determined to get to the finish line? Are you determined to move to another level until the trumpet sounds? Pastor, I don't know if you are going to allow me to pray. Will you allow me to pray? I need his permission. Because I don't know if I've gone beyond time.
You're going way beyond the time. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my God. I'm very sorry about that.
No, you're not. We're not.
Allow me to pray.
We're not. You pray.
Allow me to pray. Yes. While we are standing where we are, just allow me to pray that God will meet you, will minister to you, touch your spirit. Oh, my God. Father, I am asking this afternoon, Lord, let your divine mercies fall on someone in this place this afternoon. I am asking right now, oh God, let that energy, let that vision which you gave to us, oh God of glory, be revived. That energy, the power that pushes forward, the power that will make us do and accomplish that which, Lord, you called your children to do, Lord, cause it to come into their lives. Let there be healing. That let there be nothing stopping them from doing that which, Lord, you have called them. I ask, standing on this altar today, that sickness is being healed. That sick people are getting healed in the name of Jesus Christ. That lives are being restored by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That by the authority of the word of God, the children of God are set free. Receive your victory. Receive your peace and receive your joy. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
God bless.